Welcome to the very first episode. On today, my guest is the owner of Jerk Up Central Catering and Takeout, located in Scarborough, Ontario. Please welcome Easton Robinson. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkeaching Wafford Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding Pro Athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Yes, welcome to Own Your Thrive, episode number one. I am so excited. It is finally here, the very first episode. Are you excited? I certainly hope so. Today's guest is someone that's extremely special to me. And so how could I not start off my, you know, my podcast journey with this guest? His name is Easton Robinson. He is an entrepreneur. He is currently the owner of Jerk Up Central, a catering and takeout business that focuses on providing customers with a healthy alternative to the very popular Jamaican cuisine. Prior to Jerk Up Central, Easton was a production manager of Tremcar Industries, a company that manufactures petroleum tankers. On the hobby side, Easton has a love for fitness and has been weight training for 28 years. And so just in case you don't know who he truly is, also, he is my husband, and we're going on 18 years of marriage. And guess what? We met in our Thrive at the gym. And so, yes, I'm so excited. Easton has agreed to be my first guest, and here he is. Thank you, Easton. Hey, baby, how are you?
What's going on?
Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
So this is, I will tell you, this is probably full transparency. It's an awkward moment because here we are in our house interviewing each other. Or I'm interviewing him. This is not something that we do every day. So we're going to, this is interesting. I'm very excited to see who we're going to be as a couple on the other side of this. So Issa, I'm going to start you off with, I mean, I know you, but I, you know, the listeners don't. So I'd love if you can just talk about how you came to Canada because you're born in Jamaica. And what that was like, just the earlier years.
Hi, well, came from Jamaica, 1985. I arrived at Pearson. The experience I had was, it was different. Because, you know, coming from Jamaica, which is a smaller country, you know, you just get overwhelmed with all the lights that's here, right? Mm-hmm. So my first arrival was nervous, but also exciting. Came in spring. I think it was May 3rd. Oh. May 3rd.
And you know, this is crazy. Do you know when we got married?
I'm not sure.
May 4th. Oh my God.
Sorry, yeah, May 4th.
We got married May 4th, and Easton arrived in Canada May 3rd. That's pretty awesome. So those are two awesome dates. So this podcast, babes, is all about thriving. And the reason why I wanted to start it with you is for me to be in my thrive as much as possible. You are a big part of that, right? So every single morning I get up, you're my inspiration. Before I go to bed, you're my inspiration. And so I thought it would be super awesome to have you on as my first guest and talk about how you thrive, because I'm feeding off of your thrive. And so my first question to you is, you know, how do you know when you're thriving?
Good question. Because I never really thought about that.
Oh,
you see. Never really thought about that. How do I know? I just get up and go and do what I have to do. You know, do all the things that need to be done for that day.
And how would you say, and so thriving is all around feeling. How would you say you feel in that?
When I'm doing all these
things. Yeah, when you're getting up and going and you're doing the things that you're passionate about.
You come alive, you feel good. You know, it's not a feeling that you can really explain. You just feel great about what you're about to do and going about your business, whether it's for family or friends or work or personal. You just feel good about doing it.
And if we think about, you know, where you are now in terms of being a business owner, so we'll get to that in a minute, to where you were working for somebody, so when you were a production manager at Tremcar Industries, is there a different feeling, or do you feel different in your thrive? When you get up in the morning, your eyes pop open.
Yeah, you feel different because now you're going after you. You're going after what makes you tick. You're going after your purpose, right? And it gets you up in the morning. It's funny that you don't even need an alarm clock, mm-hmm. to be honest, because you go to bed with it and you wake up and it wakes you up, right? Mm-hmm. So it feels good knowing that you're getting up and you're going to do exactly what makes you tick.
But when I mean, I've lived with you when you were working at production as a production manager, I felt like you would get up every single morning and I didn't feel like it felt like you were also in your thrive then too.
So, yeah, well, I was because I'm a person that when I take on a particular task, I commit everything to it. I want to see it to the end, right? So when I was a production manager, it was a task that, you know, I pretty much worked from the bottom to the top, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I came out of school and then I was qualified to be this production manager. Mm-hmm. I came from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. So I know it was in every stage of that, it was a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to prepare my mind to take on that challenge. Mm-hmm. So part of that is constantly stay focused on the agenda, mm-hmm. and go for it. It was great. It felt good.
And how did you do that? How did you continue to maintain that drive in an organization where there was nobody that in the history of it ever looked like you in the office? What was that driving force to say, you know what, I can do that. I can be there and you're going to go for it.
Well, I think that driving force was believing in myself. Mm-hmm. I had this belief that I could just do about anything if I approach it with that belief. And the opportunity to present itself, yes, of course, you're going to feel scared, you're going to have fear, but I just go for it. And I knew all the obstacles, but I just put my mind to it and decided, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish just about anything, right?
And how long were you at Tremcar in total?
25 years.
Okay. And the decision to leave Tremcar, how did that come about?
We were going through a transitional moment at work where, you know, the petroleum industry, the crude oil, all that stuff was collapsing. And, you know, we support the petroleum industry. So, of course, no tanks, no work, right? Mm-hmm. So the manager wanted me to step back a bit from management because I guess they were trying to save money, mm-hmm. and do head cut. And at the time I said, when he approached me to step back, there's a something in me. I can't explain it. That just telling me, don't go backwards, right? So I just step up and says, you know, what is my compensation? Mm-hmm. And he was pretty surprised. And I just took my compensation and decided to go follow my dream. Mm-hmm. And my dream was always opening my own restaurant. Mm-hmm. Right? So I did that and it was scary. And here I am.
So we're going to go back a bit because I think, you know, it wasn't like you left the organization. I lived with you during that transitional period. So there was two transitions. So there's the transition that the organization went through and you made, it forced you to make that decision. And then there was a life transition, right? Like you had gone from going from a job that was a 9-to-5 type routine to now a period of time where you weren't working, you were trying to get yourself started. So what did you, like, making that mindset shift, and how, what was the thought process there, and how did you finally, because I know that, or maybe rather than me putting it out there, tell them the steps that you took, because it didn't just start with you opening up a catering.
No, I, you know, for me, I had a passion about food, right? So I figure if I step out and do what's always in my mind, and if I give it the same amount of attention and energy that I give when I was a manager,
you achieve good.
I'll achieve greatness, right? And that's how I approach it. So I started out making the sauce, and you know, giving it around a few friends to try and. You know, it was a challenge when it first started out. It was a big challenge, you know, getting it to the right flavor, the right everything. And eventually I did figure it out. And I can tell you it was not easy. It was tough, right?
So you came up with a formula and then you decided to bottle it?
We decided to bottle it and we you know, get labels and get it tested and all that stuff. And then, you know, we got it on the store shelf. And that still was part of the dream. Mm-hmm. Because the whole thing was creating my own sauce that I would be able to use in the restaurant and feed people. Mm-hmm. Show people that there's a clean way to eat Caribbean food. Mm-hmm. And I think I achieved that.
And so this podcast is really about helping other humans four corners of the globe to be able to thrive more in their lives. And it's not uncommon that that people, you know, either lose their job or transition out of a job to start a passion career and for a period of time to not earn a salary. But what really amazed me is that in that period of time where life was so different for you, there was still such an there was like more, like your spirit was woken up. And so I'd love for you to talk about even how that played out inside of you or in your mind, mind's eye?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard to explain because I just fell in love with the idea that I can accomplish what's in my mind and make it become real. Mm-hmm. So because I have this image in my mind, it excites me. The image I have in my mind excites me because I could see it in my mind, what it would look like in real life. Mm-hmm. So my old focus was, everybody's not going to see it, but just keep going. Mm-hmm. And that's what I kept telling myself. I said, keep going, and in the end, people will see what was in my mind. Mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, of course I had fear that what if it worked, what if it don't work? But as long as I hold that image in my mind, I know it would happen, right? So I just kept waking me up and keep me going, and I felt good. I came alive. I wasn't like, you know, when you have a 9-to-5, nothing wrong with a 9-to-5 as long as you love what you do. Mm-hmm. But you always like feeling, oh man, I gotta go to work tomorrow. I never had not one day of that feeling when I started moving towards what was in my imagination. Right. I never had a feeling like, oh my God, I gotta get up. And I was excited to get up. I wanted to get up. I wanted to spend hours and hours and hours and hours at it, right? I felt like I could just do 24 hours if my body would permit me, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the feeling I get.
That's beautiful. And then eventually you then transition, you make this decision. I know you spoke about you want to open up a restaurant. And so you make a decision to go into catering. And so how did the bug of catering come about?
Well, the bug of catering was, I was passionate about, you know, food, mm-hmm. clean food. And I said, you know, there was always a stigma to Caribbean food, mm-hmm. where it's too much grease, it's too salty. And I know where I'm from, I don't know about now, but back in my days, it was no grease and greasy and oily food, because my grandma never cooked like that. And I know I was trying to bring that back from her days to today, mm-hmm. right? So I figure if I can get people to see a different way about Caribbean food, feel a different way about it, right? So I decided to get into the catering and the takeout, and I wanted to show people mm-hmm. what Caribbean food is really about, right? How it can taste great, it's healthy for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm always a believer in that whatever I make, I eat. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to eat garbage. Right, so I wouldn't give it to my customers, and the catering is, I wanted to spread my passion, right? Yeah. I want to spread my passion and my love for clean food,
yeah.
And you know, that's how the catering come about.
And I love it, and I also will tell them it was pretty awesome because I was at the time kicking off Empowered in My Skin events, and Easton didn't yet quite have his, he didn't even have the catering concept started, and he started to cater for me. And so I would say that a lot of my guests at or my events were your guinea pigs.
Yes.
And they used to fill out the surveys and talk about how much they love the food. I was like, how about the event? So that's great. So that, and I'm sitting beside you, and I'm feeling the energy. I'm seeing you're smiling from your, or you have me grinning, which is awesome. So that lights you up. And I do know you spend a lot, an inordinate amount of time at the shop, day in, day out. And the restaurant, the food industry is not an easy industry. So at times, you know, there must be, are there low times? And are there things that dim your light? And if they are, what might that be? And what happens in those moments?
You know, you're going to get the moments where it's dim my light. I think the moment that dimmed my light at times was just being tired, because I would be putting in 17, 18 hours, and then I just felt like I can't go no more, right? Yeah. So I would feel a drain, but that's pretty much, I would say, dim my light. I always have this belief, that fate, that I just believe that this is going to happen, you know? So I never, of course, doubt's going to creep in,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I quickly erase it mm-hmm. because I listen to guys like Earl Nightingale and mm-hmm. stuff like that, right? And those guys, when I'm feeling a bit defeated,
mm-hmm.
I always listen to those guys, and it bring me back up to what my goal really is, right? So, you know, you need, at times when you're, it's funny because when you're an entrepreneur, you're kind of on a highland by yourself, right? So you need to listen to something that can energize you again to get you back on track, right?
Yes.
So I would have these tapes, and, you know, I listen to Eric Thomas and the guys like that, that would, because I'm at the shop by myself,
mm-hmm.
so I have freedom to listen what I want, and you know, and those, the tough moment, I'm going to tell you the truth, those are what get me through, because
mm-hmm.
you know, you can say you believe, right, but you have to have someone or hear something that's going to keep you on track, right?
Right.
And that's why I get through my tough times.
So you listen to Earl's, so we had to recommend some people. So Earl Nightingale, I know you recommend. Eric yeah. Thomas, obviously, he's our brethren.
Yeah.
Who else?
And I listen to a number of guys, Bob Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
There's this book, As a Man Thinketh.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Those guys I listen to a lot, right?
And T.D. Jakes, too.
T.D. Jakes, yes, yes.
Can't forget the T.D. Jakes.
Yes.
So I love that, because that was one of the things I wanted to know, like, as you talk about your dim lights, and I think that that's really important to listen to listeners, is you don't tolerate them. As soon as you, it sounds like as soon as you see them come up, you're attacking them
yes.
and getting yourself back into
because
your thrive.
Because it's going to creep in.
Yeah. So what are you, what more are you trying to create, right? So you've accomplished so much. I mean, I've seen, it's just, I'm so proud, but I've seen what you've been able to do in the last 4 years by yourself, and it's unbelievable. And so what's that vision? Like, what are you trying to create? What's that ultimate thing that is right now may seem so unattainable, but it's your North Star and that's where you're going.
Well, what I really want to create is, I want to create an environment where it's, first of all, I want to spread Jerkoff Central. Mm-hmm. Not for monetary gains, right? But I want to spread it in the fact that I want people to understand that you can eat this food and it's clean and you don't have to worry about, oh my God, what did I do, right? Mm-hmm. I want people to understand that this food is as, I can't emphasize anymore how clean it is, mm-hmm. right? But the food is so clean that, you know, you just have to try it yourself. And I would love to open another store, mm-hmm. you know, and I think if I can get to that level, people will understand and it will catch on and people will understand that we can have another option, right? Mm-hmm. There's another option. Nothing against other restaurants, mm-hmm. but just that if you're looking for a cleaner alternative mm-hmm. of Caribbean food.
That tastes like home cooked.
That tastes like home cooked.
That's very flavorful.
Very flavorful.
That is not salty.
Yeah.
Quality meats.
Yeah. And, you know, I always emphasize to people that, you know, we don't use powder spice.
Mm-hmm. You use your own spice.
We use our own spice, and everything is done by Jerkoff Central. So it's just, I want people to understand that.
And I love that. So in terms of that too, you're going to need, and you've needed support. And just like I have you on here because you're my biggest supporter, my biggest cheerleader. So what does your supporting structure look like?
Well, you're my biggest supporter. You're one of my biggest supporters.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're one of my biggest supporter. I couldn't do it without you holding down the environment, right, that we dwell in and that we thrive in. You know, I couldn't have done it without you, right? It would have been more difficult, right? And, you know, my brother, my younger brother, is my partner in crime. Mm-hmm. Without him, there would be no Jerkoff Central, flat out. You know, without him, there could not be Jerkoff Central. I mean, he championed me in every way, like with his just unbelievable, just help. Mm-hmm. You know, he just wanted to see Jerkoff succeed, right? Mm-hmm. And he would just throw himself in it at any chance he get. And, you know, and everybody else, right? That I think everybody helps, my mother, my family.
And you have people that help you?
Andrea.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I have my cousin Andrea, she's godsend. She jumped aboard and she just, unbelievable, you know, love. You know, she came and she's just operating from a place of love, mm-hmm. right? And you know, Maya, great. You know, everybody, the whole family, my mom, my sister, everybody, Bobby, everybody pitching where they can, right? Mm-hmm. So even if it's 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, just doing something where Jerkoff is today, it couldn't have happened.
It's near the village. That's
yeah, yeah. It couldn't have happened without all these players.
I love
right?
that. It's beautiful.
So for that, I give God thanks, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, for me, I always tell, I just have this belief, right? Mm-hmm. And I just can't explain it. I just believe, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes your belief energizes you, mm-hmm. even when you're tired. I don't know how it works, but
it wakes you up.
It energizes mm-hmm. you, right? Because you have this belief, right? And it's just weird. And I just go with that.
So as we talk about that too, so we have your support structure. So self-care, when I talk about self-care, is so important for the Thrive Game. And by self-care, it could be all of the things that you're doing to really just take care of your mind, body, and soul. I live with you. Obviously, our listeners don't. So I'd love if you really talk and share you know, from the time your eyes get up in the morning, what does that look like? Because he doesn't just go to Jerk Up Central and work 17 hours, okay? He does way more than that. And I think it's phenomenal. It keeps him healthy. So
well, I kind of get up. It's weird because I'll tell you the truth, right? For the longest time, years, I always talk myself into I'm not a morning person. You know, I always be like, not getting up this morning, or I get up because I got to go to work. But I was like a grouch in the morning, right? Because I just told myself I'm not a morning
person. And I'm not. I'm a morning person. Yeah,
she's a morning person. I'm not, right? But anyways, so I was going to the gym when I started Jerk Up. I was going in the evening. But then I recognized that, man, I got to change things here because it's not working. You know, when I leave Jerk Up at 8 o'clock, I go to the gym. And by the time I get home, I'm tired. But I kept doing it because I was afraid to wake up early in the morning, right? So, you know, through the transition of becoming yourself, right, to figure out what you're made of, I said, okay, Ink, I got to pack my gym bag. I got to get up in the morning. So I started waking up 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was a bit easy because of that purpose, right? So I got up, I started getting up 4 o'clock in the morning. I've been doing that over a year now. And I get up 4 o'clock in the morning, get ready, and I'm going to do a workout at the gym for 2 hours, leave the gym, go to Jerk Up Central, start. Once I get there, I just start going, and I open for 12 o'clock. And that's how my day starts. And I do the gym 6 days a week.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was 6 days a week I work out. And I would say I did that for a year consistently.
Mm-hmm. He's not lying.
Yeah.
I attest to that. And his workouts are no joke, too. This is what we have to recognize, folks. We put in the work that we have an effort that we want to. And when he goes in the morning, even though he knows he has a 17-hour workday after that, he puts in the work. He's one of the hardest working people at the gym. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try to, I just feel if you're there, get it done.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to ask, so as we wrap up this podcast, I would love to just take you through what we call a rapid fire. Okay. So this is where I'm going to ask a question and you say whatever first comes to mind. Okay.
Wow.
So thriving. So when you think of thriving, so, you know, somebody that's lit up, who is the first person that comes to mind and why?
Thank you, G.
Okay. I'm okay with that. So you think about me?
Yeah.
And why?
Why? Because you have this unbelievable work ethics.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's impeccable.
Thank you.
Right? And when I see that, I just admire it. And, you know, I mirror some of my drive from that, right? You know what I mean? I see when you go, you know? And if you're not inspired by that, then I don't know what, man.
But you know what's the funniest thing is that Ethan gets up at 4 and I get up at 4. And sometimes I don't want to get up at 4. But in my head, I'm like, okay, Ethan's getting up at 4 and I don't want to be left behind. And so he tells me that he knows I'm getting up at 4. And if he doesn't feel like getting up at 4, he doesn't want to be left behind. So somehow we mirror each other and get each other up and going. So I love that. So what book has helped you with your thrive the most?
As a Man Thinketh.
Yeah. You recommend it?
Yes. You got to get that book. Okay. People, you got to get the book.
People, you heard them.
If you don't get the book, you can listen to the audio.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. What daily activity helps you with your thrive?
The gym.
Okay. So workout. And right now, as you are a business owner and you're you're running Jerk Up Central. Do you believe there's any misconceptions that people have about what they're seeing you doing? Any misconceptions that people might have about you as you're in your thrive?
Wow. Misconception. I never tell about that.
Do you think people look at you and think that what you're doing is easy? Do you think...
I don't think that they think it's easy. I think they think I'm crazy.
So the misconception is that you're crazy. Yeah, but you really are sane, yeah. And you have a strong belief.
Yes. They think that I'm crazy, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, but... Yeah. To some degree, to the average, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... It's just the belief. I can tell you, when you believe in something, other people think you're crazy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's just how I approach it.
So I believe in you.
Thank you.
And I think crazy is awesome too, by the way. So continue to be crazy and strive high, because you have some really great opportunities to achieve great stuff in this life. I'm very appreciative that you're in my life. I thank you for being the first guest on this podcast. I know when I asked you, you were like, why me? But I think it's totally, totally makes sense because of the topic and the theme of the podcast. So I thank you, Easton, for helping me with my thrive. I appreciate you. I honor you and I love you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your first podcast. It's kind of nerve-wracking because, you know what? Nobody ever interviewed me like this. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but hey, it's necessary.
Yeah, it's okay. You did awesome, and I love it. So there you have it. That is the first episode of Own Your Thrive. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. It's your girl, and I'm out. So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.